what I'm doing, I'm using my talent to make the band sound good for someone to more or less forget what's going on in the world and create that atmosphere.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Matt Sunnen, a.k.a. Matt in the Hat, audio engineer for Jess Zimmerman Band and EMT. Matt, welcome to episode 89 of the American Grown Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. It's up to 89 episodes.
I know.
That's awesome.
Thank you. It's been quite the journey, you know, and meeting new people like yourself. Everyone has a different story. It's been a lot of fun and learning about different industries, different backgrounds. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
And local too. Local people.
Exactly. Local people like yourself, Matt, and, you know, Jess Zimmerman Band. And we want to shout some people out. Before we do that, though, I just want to thank you for being a loyal listener, being a supporter of the podcast.
Absolutely.
Because it's a lot of behind the scenes that people don't see to create an audio, you know, podcast. I'm not even messing with video yet. That's down the road. But, you know, you can appreciate it being an audio engineer for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get too in-depth, let's shout some people out. Like I mentioned, Jess from Jess Zimmerman Band, you know, you are the front of house audio engineer and road manager for them. You know, Jess was a guest on the podcast back in episode 62. Amazingly talented young lady, phenomenal.
Yes, she is. And no, she did not pay me to say that.
No.
But yeah. No, she is a phenomenal vocalist. She is a powerhouse. And she just recently won Best Female Vocalist in Central Pennsylvania at the 5th CPMA Awards, and she deserves it. You know, congratulations to all the nominees in that category, too. You don't want to discredit anyone there. So everyone deserved everything that night.
Definitely. There's so much local talent, and that's what I love about, like you said, local podcasts, you know, even local radio. You get to learn and get some behind the scenes on these local artists that are up and coming, or maybe they're big in their areas, but you might not know about them. Maybe you live in Pittsburgh, maybe you're up in Williamsport, and you never heard of Jess Zimmerman Band, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got to look her up. Or Cody Tyler, we talked briefly about him. He was on the podcast. But to talk about local radio, Steve Frogman Todd was on episode 48, and you had said that was that the first episode you started listening to?
Yeah, that was the first episode, because he posted it on Facebook, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I gotta give him a listen, because I'm a proud supporter of Froggy Valley 100.1 and Steve Todd, on the morning show before he retired, and that was the first episode, and then going from there, going down your list, seeing Matt Zechman was also on the podcast here, and he's the owner of Kaleona Coffee Roasters, and he was, what, episode
42?
Yeah, 42. Matt, shout out to you, man, and you're doing wonderful with your new business, and we go back to my EMT days, our EMT days, right here in Lebanon at First Aid and Safety Patrol, actually. Two streets away
just is right
our
the,
main
yeah,
is the main
right
station
the here. We're on 9th Street. Yeah, they're just right down the road.
Yeah, and I, got him to come down to Newmanstown, but we, and he's a veteran.
He is. Yeah,
and shout out to all our veterans.
100%. Yes, thank you all for your service, everyone out there, and Matt Zechman's a great guy. He's a sponsor of the podcast, and if you're looking to support a local coffee company, head over to 911 Rapid Response. They're in Anvil, Kaleona, right down from LVC. Get yourself a cup of coffee. Get yourself a pick-me-up. Everybody needs it. Matt is a great guy, and it's a supporting veteran, and I'm all for it. I don't know about you, but I'm all for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You need your coffee in the morning.
Exactly right, yeah. And the last shout-out we got to throw in there, I just found out, biggest listener, Jake Sunnen. So thank you. Thank you for listening. That is Matt's dad, obviously. Yeah. And I do appreciate it because every listener counts. And it is a lot of work to produce these episodes for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what he listens to on, like Spotify, Apple?
That I don't know. Okay. Maybe Spotify.
We're on Pandora, Amazon Music as well. Mm-hmm. So Spotify's probably it. That's Spotify and Apple, like the two major ones. Then there's mm-hmm. Google Podcasts. But very cool. So, Matt, let's dive in now. Let's get your, you know, backstory. What was your early childhood like? Where'd you grow up? Let's get that whole story.
So I'm fifth generation dairy farmer and poultry. We had layers, and we're not doing that anymore. We got out of that. But growing up on the farm, you know, doing the whole farming life and milking cows at 4 o'clock in the morning, getting up there with my grandfather and my dad. Yeah. It was just awesome, you know, just riding the tractors, driving the tractors at a young age, and then being able to go out and do it by myself, you know, when I got old enough, you know, I was like, oh, all right. And then had certain fields that I was only allowed to do
okay.
Certain things in, you know, because there was the one was we call the school field right by Fort Zeller Elementary School, and there was no rocks in there.
Okay.
So I couldn't break anything, hit any rocks or anything.
Figured
like
that's
that
where you're going with that.
With the haybine mowing hay and whatnot. So that was my field, you know, running the little baler was my favorite. Now we have, you know, we do big bales now, you know, the big squares. We don't do the little ones. But, yeah, we were fifth generation. Goes all the way back to even the mock dairy on my great-grandmother's side was Valley View Dairy from Schaeferstown. And growing up, I would go to – if I didn't want to be out in the chicken house when I was real young over the summer, I would go to my great-grandmother's house, and we would sing. She was really involved in the Lutheran church, and that's how you know, music started there. And I would go and sing in the senior choir, even though I was the – youngest, but music had, you know, that's where the music started, was at a young age there. So her family had Valley View Dairy, and we would go out for lunch, and we'd be driving through Richland, and she's like, oh, I delivered milk there, and then so-and-so lived there, and so-and-so lived there.
Yeah.
There was the, you know, that house is connected to this party line and this and that. You pick it up, and I'm like, oh, man, I was born in the wrong generation.
Right, yeah. Everybody knew everybody back then.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
What I mean? Yeah. Such a community.
Simpler back then.
I would agree. Yeah, yeah. Simpler, more involved mm-hmm. and more, you know, I don't want to say, but yeah, homegrown and you knew your neighbors, right?
Yes.
Like, I don't know about you, but mm-hmm. I don't know my neighbors much. And it's like, but you knew everybody, like you said, and you knew everything about them really, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then from there, started, line dancing actually is, while milking cows.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
My grandfather back in the day, even my parents were milking with cows with my grandfather. He would teach me behind the cows as we were milking. And we started, I think some of the ones was like Sleazy Slide, First Line Dances, Electric Slide. You know, everyone knows the Electric Slide, but, you know, there's fundamentals to line dancing. But yeah, my... line dancing was a big part of our family, and my parents actually met at the Black Angus, I want to say, was down at Stouts. It could have been Stouts down in Adamstown, and they had line dancing there. My grandfather would tell me stories about going to Low Places in Lancaster, across from Dutch Wonderland on Route 30.
I know where you're at. Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's where I started line dancing, you know, at a young age. Middle school, we had this gentleman named Josh, a good friend of mine now. He would take me to Low Places. You know, I'd always hear about this Low Places thing. So Sunday nights, and it was this country bar in Lancaster. We would go down there on Sunday nights for family night. That's where I really learned how to line dance.
Okay.
It was probably around 2007 is where I really started line dancing.
Yeah.
And met some great friends there, you know, started learning line dancing. The highlight of that trip, though, those nights was friendlies.
Friendlies? Okay.
We'd always, after line dance, we'd always go to friendlies right up the road.
Yeah, you got to be hungry after line dance, imagine. Like, you're probably get a good sweat going on.
Oh, it's a workout.
Yeah. I've seen videos of people doing it. Yeah.
So, and then in high school, I started doing the, what are they called? The musicals.
Yeah, musicals.
You know, tech for musicals and all that. I was, you know, did rigging and lighting and whatnot, and playing around with the equipment in the auditorium. Another shout out is Jesse Baker Baker Events in Lancaster is the company he started, and we would actually play with the lights and do different things with the lighting in the auditorium, and that's where I kind of like that's where I started saying. This is where I wanted to, you know.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yeah.
You know, so then because we created a light show for the talent show the one year at the end of the school year in my high school. And then, but I joined because I was in the band. I was in the drum line. I sang in chorus.
Okay.
You know, coming from, you know, singing from, you know, the church choir. And got into FFA. And so during National FFA Week, they're like, hey, we want to play music during the three lunches. And I went to Elko.
Okay.
You know, high school in the middle of a cornfield, you know, is what they call it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but. Don't they have a bring your tractor into school day or something?
We did. Right? One year. I don't remember the week year. Yeah.
I think, or at least the seniors do.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. But, yeah.
So, so there I was. I had two Apple Macs or whatever the two laptops playing music off of YouTube. Yeah. That's where it started. That's where it started.
The origin story. Yeah.
So, and then, you know, with events, you know, from the county FFA, Lebanon County FFA events at different places they wanted music to the banquets. I did sound for the banquets and all that. Mainly because, oh, you're in the band. You have access to the equipment. Go ask Mr. Fair for it or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's where it started.
So that's where it started. Okay.
So I went from DJing. So that's where I started DJing. And then I used my last name, DJ Sonnen. A lot of people know me as that. And started doing more line dancing, you know, for the FFA. And then we graduated and people were getting married. They're like, can you do our wedding? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, so then I started, you know, getting into that and doing weddings for like $300-$400, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's fun. I need experience. I was doing like 15, 16 weddings a year, you know. A
couple bucks for sure. Yeah, yeah.
So I got busy with that. And then going back to Low Places, I got asked to be one of the DJs at Low Places.
Wow. And that's pretty cool because, again, you went there as a child. Mm-hmm. Or not child, but younger. A teenage kind of. And now that you're, you know, out of high school, it's like, hey, they respect and acknowledge that you're at that level to be a DJ for them.
Yeah.
And a paid DJ. Yeah.
And what was cool was back in the day, Low Places was tied to I-105.
Okay. Yeah.
My grandfather would tell me that the DJs from I-105 would do Friday nights at Green Dragon.
Yeah.
Pack up and go do line dancing at Low Places, the way you told me. And I'm like,
yeah.
So, which was pretty cool. But to be amongst one of the DJs with Big Dave Whitehead, Boots and Nancy, Little Dave, amongst everyone there was, and to be able to step foot into that booth was awesome.
Yeah.
And then it just went from there, you know, and then, was able to, when I was younger, we would go to Hummel's and that was, DJ Chicken Nugget. DJ Chicken Nugget, we were going to Hummel's. And then he migrated over to Johnny and Hans in Robinsonia.
Okay.
And then you know, he kind of knew I DJed, and he asked me one time to, hey, can you help fill in? And so I was like one of his regular fill-ins, like while he was off doing a wedding or family vacation, or was at another like a fair.
Yeah,
would happen to be on a Friday or Sunday night. Now I think they have dancing almost every night every of the night. Week. I think Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and then they have lessons on Monday.
Wow!
So they're going. But back then, I used to dance six nights a week.
Holy cow, jeez, okay.
the only night that I did not go line dancing was Tuesday.
Tuesdays?
Yeah, and then Mondays was usually I would help with a beginner class with Boots and Nancy and down at Little Places, and Wednesday was we would go to Willow Street. Thursday was Hummel's. Friday was Johnny and Hans or Little Places when it was open. Yeah. And then Sundays, you know, Saturdays, if someone was somewhere else, we would go there. Winter Circle, you know, kind of did a big loop, you know.
Right, yeah, you had like a track or
yeah, and Tuesdays really was the only night that you did not have line dancing somewhere.
Yeah.
But now it's very popular.
It's definitely, from what I can tell, is blowing up and it's very popular. Yeah. Yeah.
So filling in for Chicken Nugget, Johnny and Hans, and then, it's crazy.
So mentioning, you know, Chicken Nugget, I wanted to ask, I'm sure by now the listeners are wondering, you know, how did you get the nickname Matt in the Hat? You know, and off air I'd mentioned, like, are you big into Dr. Seuss and Cat in the Hat? But it has nothing to do with that. Let's get that backstory.
It's one name, and it's all because of Jess. Jess is the one that said Matt in the Hat. And it happened to be, you know, and probably one of the band members also had you know, influences too as well. I can't remember exactly when or it just started being said off stage, you know, sound guy, Matt in the Hat, you know, cause I would always wear this hat, you know, cowboy hat.
And it was always cowboy hats early on. Like, cause now you mentioned maybe some bucket hats or is it always?
Yeah. Baseball hats, you know, sometimes or, but yeah, just my grandfather always wears a Western hat, a cowboy hat, straw, felt, you know, leather, you know, don't want to wear, you know, straw when it's raining because they'll just
destroy it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But yeah, that's where it comes from is my grandfather. Okay. My grandfather wears hats all the time, mainly the Western hat. And that's where I kind of got that feel from.
Yeah.
So, but it goes with the country music kind of thing.
Oh, for sure.
So,
it's a perfect
line
fit.
Dancing.
And
so.
You're rocking it too. I mean, you got the Real Tree fishing shirt. I love that shirt, by the way. That was when Jess came in, I had a similar shirt on, and that was a whole thing. So if you want to hear about, she was making fun of me for wearing it because anyway, but beside the point, you know, you have a pretty long history with Jess herself. Mm-hmm. Do you care to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I will back up a little bit.
Please.
You know, Jess, you know, in her episode, you know, Dan the man, our bass player, he likes fishing and wears fishing shirt.
That's it.
And, you know, she's like, yeah, he's not allowed to wear, you know, and whatnot. So now I wear fishing shirts just to annoy her.
Nice.
But at least I'm not on stage, so.
Right. So what's she going to do? Yeah. So. Plus, you're pretty vital to the band. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I love it.
I
Shout
was
out to
listening.
Dan.
Yeah, Dan.
To, yeah.
Dan, Mad Dog, Mad Dog Mattis, Joe B., all those guys, Spence, Jess's husband is what we call him.
It's an awesome group there for sure. I mean, you knew Jess because she also had, her family also had a farm and things like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of knew her family from the farming, from showing 4-H, FFA.
Yeah.
You know, we all kind of did. We showed at the local fairs. So that's how we kind of knew her and, I had seen Jess in Greeting Revival, which was one of her early bands, at Reinhold's Fire Company Carnival. And I was like, oh, I know her. You know, I know her family and whatnot. And then at the Lebanon Fair, in the early stages of – the early days of the Jess Zimmerman band is when I saw her again.
Yeah.
I was like – man, I haven't seen her since the Green Tea Revival days. You know, I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then, you know, started, you know, going out and seeing them at Winter Circle.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. Joby says that's when I, you know, started mixing, but I think when I started mixing for the band was July of 2018 at the Union House in Richland.
Okay.
And what I was doing was I was there for the first set. Joe B was playing guitar, singing. He was doing lights and running front of house sound by himself.
So he wasn't that busy.
Yeah.
he wasn't that busy.
So he went and sang a song, and one of his songs that he sings, and I was like, man, I can't hear him. I said, this is driving me nuts. I'm like, so I went up to him and I said, hey, you know, he kind of knew me from, you know, following around and whatnot. And I said, I know a little bit about music and, you know, can I mix, you know, can I help you out? Hands me his iPad, and it's been history ever since.
Really? He's like, hey, here you go.
Yeah, we mix off an iPad, and we don't have one of those big consoles, even though I would like to one day, you know. Yeah,
but an iPad works.
Yeah.
That gets it done.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, so that's where I started. I'm in my sixth year with them now.
6 years. That's phenomenal, you know.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot, and a lot has changed. A lot of difference has happened now. Then you also, like, created your own kind of sound and entertainment company?
Yeah, so Joe B, which is JB. So JB Sound and Entertainment LLC is like our umbrella company. Is our sound production company. You know, that's where all the equipment's, you know, under. And then that was like 2019. I think he had it beforehand, but it really started becoming to light, you know, once I joined the forces and whatnot. And then I brought my DJ services under the sound company.
Okay.
So I could have, like, you know, I didn't have to worry about books. You know, we do it all through the sound company. And now we have a kind of, it created more of a different atmosphere for the band, because I can do, the band can play, people can line dance and all enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
But then on the band's breaks, I can call line dances.
Oh, and there you go.
So we can, you know, so that's how it's come into play with, you know, the DJing. We do weddings too, for people we know, or if it's a Sunday wedding. Sunday weddings are good because the band's not usually playing on Sundays.
There you go. Yeah.
So, or if, you know, someone has off and they're like, oh, I can sneak this wedding in here, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
gotcha. Very cool. And like the public can call you up and say, hey, like, we have a wedding or event, or you kind of stay away from that now that it's
so,
yeah,
being as busy as we are with Jess Zimmerman band.
Yeah.
I try to shy away from, doing weddings. Now we'll do, I think we did, 3 weddings this year.
Okay.
But it was when someone was off.
Gotcha.
So we were able to plug those in, and there was a phone call. Hey, you know, got this wedding, we want you to do it. Looked at our schedule. Yeah, I can do that. You know, kind of thing. But yeah, or we do, you know, we also do production. You know, we'll do, you will do audio for, different band, you know, a band if we're available. My Super Bowl, I like to call it, is Morgantown Carnival. We set up our full PA and we do, we mix the bands from Tuesday through Saturday.
Wow.
And that's like my
Super Bowl.
My Super Bowl, when I get to go out and I get to mix other bands, you know, because that doesn't happen often because I'm, you know, primarily to Jess.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah.
That's awesome. Wow. I mean, because then you get to like sharpen your skills and hone in your craft, you know, with these other bands. I like that a lot. So
it's more or less when I have to, I have to work those days.
Yeah. It pushes you a little bit.
That I'd slack off with Jess, but no, I do work with Jess. You know, I do work hard at my craft to make them sound good. And that's, you know, Joby always says is the most important musician in the room is the sound guy.
Yeah.
The sound guy can either make or break the band.
And you don't, I think, you know, you're probably underappreciated job or position because everybody sees the talent up on stage, but nobody sees the guy, you know, in the back.
Until something goes wrong.
Yeah, until something goes wrong. Then it's like, okay, who's the sound guy?
Well, at church, perfect example is church. Okay. Well, the pastor's mic breaks and everyone turns around and looks at the sound guy.
It's like, where's the praise when it went well, you know? All those times there was no issues, and now this one slip up.
Yeah.
You know, they're ready to, you know, get you.
But, yeah.
So being, you know, being a front of house audio engineer, like, what is that? What does that mean? What do you do during, like, shows? Like, explain that for the listeners.
Yeah, so what I do is I make sure we have good gain structure, which is, so you have the microphone. We'll just use a vocal mic, for instance. You have the vocal mic into a cable, into the board, and just talking very lightly, you're not going to get much signal into the board. So you have what we have is gain. You give it more power, more or less, is what I would say. And so you get that at a good level. And then what I do is I'm balancing all the channels from the vocals, the guitars, the drums, and more or less making what is on the record live.
Yeah.
And there's been times where I'm mixing the band. I'm like, am I listening to the record or am I listening to them live?
Dang.
And that's the ultimate goal, because when you go out to a show or out to see, you know, someone live, you listen to their music beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
yeah,
you know, you go see the Luke Bryan, the Carrie Underwood, Lainey Wilson. You're listening to their stuff. You know what it sounds like on the radio, on Spotify, Apple Music. You hear what it is, what was created in the studio. My job as a front of house audio engineer is to take what they're doing on stage and make it similar to the record.
Yeah. So you almost can't, like you said, tell a difference by listening to it. You know, you want it to sound like that.
There's
yeah.
been times where I'm like, are they live or is this a recording? Did I do something wrong? Do I have something playing here?
Is something playing
yeah. here? I'm like, wait a minute. No, no, it's them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I do, you know, is, you know, making sure they sound their best.
Their best, yeah. Now, while you're doing that, I mean, because that's a lot to keep track of, all the audio, all the vocals, and then all the instruments, too, because if something is, like, let's just say the drums are too loud, then it drowns everything else out.
Correct.
Right? So you're balancing that.
Yeah. Live. So yeah. You know, then one thing, too, is when I'm all self-taught. I'm self-taught. I didn't go to college for this. I didn't go to school.
Yeah.
YouTube. And the biggest thing on being a sound engineer is having an ear and having that musical mentality and being able to hear something. Like if something's too loud, and what I was taught from Joe B was if something's too loud, bring it down. And typically that will level everything else out. You know, picking what's loud, the loudest in the mix, and bringing that down
mm-hmm.
could solve all your issues, you know. And then there's, you know, the EQ, different, you know, your frequencies. I remember those home sound systems. They might have had like the equalizer on there, like, or in your car. Best example is your car.
Okay.
You have your bass, your mids, and your trebles.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're EQing. You know, some people like, oh, like a lot of bass, so you jack the bass up. Well, then that drowns off your mids or your highs.
Yeah.
So you want that fine balance.
Okay.
So, or like a vocal, a lot of vocals have like a lot of mid-range in it, so you want to dip that out.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of, because it creates mud, is what we call it.
Mud, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, muddies everything up kind of.
And you don't want like real low frequencies, because then, that, you know, you get feedback, and that it's trying to fine-tune.
A perfect balance.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Jeez. I feel like I'm learning as... Like, I feel like you should just do the podcast and I'll just be the guest, you know, because I'm learning so much. All right. That makes total sense, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like when you were setting the mics up for tonight, you were making sure on your recorder that you're getting that good enough signal in.
Right.
So you have good quality. And it comes down to the quality of mics, too.
Yeah. Oh, so it's huge. Yeah.
That's, you know, but I'm also finding you could find some stuff off of Amazon that are cheap mics, but they sound amazing.
Yeah, technology, right?
Yeah, it all depends. Going. You know, it could be a knockoff from something, you know. Yeah. Same technology, but it all depends on, you know, how the quality is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about the quality. And that's huge with audio. And for the podcast, you know, I was like, okay, I listened to Joe Rogan and, of course, many other podcasts, local and much larger. But I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I want to get – because you always hear Shure SM7Bs. You know, those, mm-hmm. those are the mics. Those are the quality. So I was like, that's where we're going to go, and we're going to go all into this. And I like – because if it doesn't sound good, who's going to listen to it?
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with, you know – when you go see, you know, go out and see someone live, you want that nice quality, or, you know, they're going to leave.
100%. Yeah.
And, you know, and that falls back onto, okay, oh, we could go out and see this band, but they're too loud or they don't sound good. And then that venue is going to lose money. And then you're not going to, you know,
yeah.
you're not going to be welcome back, or asked to be back, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing drives me crazier than when the music is too loud and in a place like, especially, and I love like local bars and restaurants. They'll have mm-hmm. somebody come in, you know, just a guy, you know what I mean? A solo act, solo artist kind yeah. of thing. Local guy. And it's like, man, it's so loud. I can't even hear myself think or the person I'm sitting next to talk, you know? Yeah. That kind of drives me nuts, especially when I leave concerts and my ears are still ringing like the next 2 or 3 days, which I understand you then have it's to have
too loud.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Then it's too loud.
That's
right?
Too loud.
Okay. So I'm not the only one. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you know, the thing is like, you know, talk about this before. It's like, oh, why you put so many, we call them boxes or speakers or.
Yeah. There's always so many.
You have exactly. so many, but it's also for them not to work as hard. Same thing with subs. You know how in the front of a stage, when you go to a, you know, big concert, they have those lines of subs. Well, it's more or less they're sitting there on idle. And, you know, that's a line from Joe B. is like, oh, you get – they're pretty much sitting on idle. Because we have these bigger speakers that are dual 18-inch woofers.
Okay.
And, you know, someone asked us, well, why do you use those all the time? I said, because they sound good and we're not pushing them. It depends on the room. You know, if right. we're outside, then, yeah, we want them. If we're at the Union House, yeah, maybe we want – one single 18-inch right. sub. It all depends on the room. And that, you know, that's the other thing too, is like, you know, on a major tour or so, you know, you have a system tech who more or less takes care of the system. But with me, I have to be the system tech and yeah. the front of house guy and, you know, trying to balance everything out. But yeah.
You wear multiple hats.
I do.
You do.
Goes yeah. with the name, I think.
It definitely does. Yeah. Yeah. Matt, let's take a quick sip break. Yeah.
Yeah.
To pick up, you know, Jess Zimmerman Band. You've been working with them now. Has it been, what, 6 years, I think we'd said?
Yeah, 6 years. Roughly?
Okay.
Yeah.
Her band has opened for some major artists, including
yes.
Leonard Skinner. Yeah. Shania Twain, Miranda Lambert, Little Big Town. You know, so, like, what is that feeling like being in the room, you know, the arena, whatever it may be, the venue with some of these huge names? Like, what goes through emotional wise? Like, what's going through your head?
Wow. The highlight of my career with this band has probably one of the highlights, I should say. There's multiple highlights.
Yeah.
Was the Marshall Tucker and Leonard Skinner opening up for them up at, up in the Poconos. It was the first time we were kind of in an amphitheater kind of thing, I want to say it was. Not 100% sure. I think it was an amphitheater. And I remember going out as Marshall Tucker was finishing up their sound check, and I got to meet their front of house guy, Keith Glenn. He's an older gentleman, and he pretty much is like, hey, you know, look, you know, more or less treated me like a human being. What I thought about going when, you know, thinking about that was like, oh, I'm, you know, Marshall Tucker's front of house guy kind of thing, or like, we're not necessarily that. Let me back up a little bit. Let's see here.
But almost like maybe, and I'm just spitballing here, but almost like you would think they would act maybe like they're big time, right?
Yeah,
like,
big time. Yes, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Let me go into that.
Yeah, 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 definitely. Take it on. Yeah.
Going into like a show like that, it's like, and meeting a guy like Keith Glenn, the front of house guy for Marshall Tucker, thinking that, oh, we're big time, you know. No, he treated us like everyone there at that show treated us like we were right there on tour with them. You know, you're not this small little guy, you know, small little band or whatever.
Right.
They treated us
as like, equals, right?
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, and so I got to talk to him a little bit, and we did our sound check. We did our set. We were the opening band, and the best thing that happened at that show was Keith Glenn came over and said, "Hey, your mix sounded great. Keep up the good work."
Whoa, that's huge. And how did you feel? Like,
I didn't know what to say, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I actually must be doing something right for someone who has been in the industry as and with a band 20 plus years.
Yeah.
With the same band for 20 plus years to come over and say, sounded great and this and that. I was nervous as all heck. Yeah. I was having issues with my connectivity with my iPad to our board. You know, it was going in and out. It was because we were in an amphitheater. There was a lot of natural reverb.
Okay.
And because we were the open band, it wasn't as full yet. So, body suck up, you know, sound.
I was just going to say,
body suck up sound. So, but it was so,
yeah.
And,
that makes sense. The more people, clothing, hats, or whatever, it sucks up the sound. Yeah. Okay.
So for him to come up and say, "Hey, this sound, you know, your mix was good, you know, and whatnot," I was like, "I can do this." Yeah. You know, one of those things, you know, coming into like some shows, like that's a big show. That's a big show for us. You don't know who is in the crowd, who is listening.
Good point, right.
You know, what promoters, what, you know, what agents are there, you know, with those bands or something, you know, whatnot.
Yeah.
It's like, so you want the stress, for me, the stress of making sure everything goes the way they want to present themselves falls on my shoulders. And it was a lot of weight that day. But hearing that from, you know, Keith was, you know, said, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, it reassures that you're doing the right thing. Like, you know, for somebody of that talent and that veteran level of experience to be like, sounded great, you know, great show. Like,
yes,
that's huge.
Yeah. But yeah, opening up for Shania, you know, that was up at the grounds of, I want to say, it was up in Bethel, New York, and it was, oh, what's that up there? It was back in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that called? Bethel Woods Center, and it was on the grounds of Woodstock.
Woodstock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So going to shows like,
wow,
opening up for Shania Twain was in Bethel, New York, on the grounds of Woodstock. And I did my research before then. I was like, that was a cool concert back in the 70s. And I was like, all right. And then it actually, that show, it actually rained right before we were supposed to go on. And then we were on a stage as people were coming in. They were kind of filtering by us.
Okay.
So there was a lot of people that got that. We didn't share the stage with Shania, but we were up there still on the same bill as Shania Twain. Little Big Town, Miranda Lambert, you know, those were at the Citadel.
I was just going to ask you. Okay.
Yeah, Citadel. Yeah. We were on also on the other stage. They had two stages, so we were on the main stage, but we were.
But still, to be in the room, like to, you know, to still, be there,
to be on the bill as some of those artists is just phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
did you ever think, like growing up, that you'd be at this level? And you, from what I can tell, Jess Zimmerman Band is only growing and expanding. When she was here, I mentioned to her, I was like, in the future, I could definitely see her doing, or the band doing a collab with like Jelly Roll or somebody of that like level, you know.
Yes.
I feel like that'd be a good mix.
I love Jelly Roll.
Oh yeah, he's phenomenal.
Oh yeah, yeah. Love. No, but no, I did not see myself doing this.
Yeah.
What
did you think?
Well, you were gonna started out farming. I wanted to take all over the farm.
Yeah.
But then, you know, seeing the market and, you know, it's hard being a farmer. You know, hats off to, you know, any of my friends that are still going. The way the market is and all that, but support local,
100%, yeah.
Support your local farms, whether it's the produce, you know, dairy, buying local is the key to everything there. But
Yeah. So, and we can pick up here, but like going on tour, I mean, you just said too, you recently got back from Florida.
Yes.
You know, so you're going everywhere with Jess and Jess Zimmerman Band, seeing so many different venues. You know, what is like one of your favorite places that you got to, you know, go to, but also like what's something that has left a lasting impression on you?
Going on tour, seeing many venues. We were just like you said, we were just in Florida and we played Blake Shelton's Old Red in Orlando.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite venues, more or less, because I get to mix on a different board. So we use all their equipment down there. When we go into that venue, we use all the house stuff that's sitting there. And the production team treats me like one of their own.
Yeah.
I get to go in, you know, work alongside them and make it happen. One of my all-time favorite venue is Mickey's Black Box in Lititz.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Right off of 501. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And we've done multiple shows there. We've done our one album release there. Just did a show there with Cold Spring Union, Cody Tyler.
Yeah.
And Jess was there. You know, the three acts was there. And that was actually the first time I got to mix Cody Tyler and Gypsy Convoy.
What'd you think?
Tell you what, listening to their music on Spotify and then mixing them definitely helped.
Yeah.
But Cody is the whole band is phenomenal. And Cody just has an awesome voice. And that's kind of like the feel I like. The kind of his type of music, country music, is like my type of music. Like your Ramble in the Hills is one of my favorite songs from him. Firewater.
I love Firewater. I have it on my phone right now. I bought it on iTunes. I'm still old school like that. Like, you know, sure, I listen on Spotify, but if I really like something, I'll pay the whatever 99 cents or $1.29 to have it like on my phone. But yeah, Firewater, that's a good one.
I think that's Stefan, Jess's husband's favorite song.
Is it? Okay, yeah. There we go. Yeah. So,
but yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, so that venue is just amazing. You know, it's right there on the campus of Rock Lititz. So you have, you know, those people, you have people coming over there from Claire and them coming over and working there.
Yeah.
I've met some great people from there as well. So I also work, I'm one of the audio engineers there too. And, so I've worked with some other people there. But yeah, it's a Claire Brothers system that's in there.
Yeah.
And that system in there is their cohesion system. And if there's any audio nerds, you know, you have your different speakers, like you have different brands, like you have cars. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Claire, you have L Acoustic, you have JBL. I mixed on all of them.
Yeah.
From different versions. But the cohesion system from Claire is probably my favorite to mix on. And it's sitting right there in Mickey's Black Box.
Yeah, right down the road. Yeah.
But, yeah. But that's probably just the clarity is probably, and that room, how that room sounds is probably the impression.
Yeah.
And being able to travel. I mean, I never thought I would leave Pennsylvania.
Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah.
The farther south I've ever gone was Virginia Beach back in my church days.
Yeah.
For I forget when it was a youth group trip that we that was like the farthest south I ever went until I became part of, you know got involved with the band.
Yeah.
You know, when we went down to I got to be a part of going down to Nashville. Never been to Nashville before until we went down to record the third album.
Okay.
Yeah, Breathe.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was a part of, I never was in a recording studio until then.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense because, you know, growing up on the farm and everything, you know, it wasn't like this has always been in your family. It wasn't like you grew up around it, but you, like you said, you learned it yourself. You got self-educated. I mean, and then Tennessee, I was there once with my in-laws. We went down. So it was great to see like all the bars and everything. I'd love to go down to Morgan Wallen's This Bar and see that. But anyway, so, gosh, yeah, what did you think of that? Like, yeah.
they couldn't. So we went in, did our, you know, you do the recording process, seeing that was good, and seeing how an album's created.
Yeah.
You know, you hear the scratch vocals, the demo tracks, to the finished product. And Rory is our studio engineer from Nashville. And seeing him work, I just sat there and watched him. That's how I learned. You know, watching other people, and like I said before, YouTube and self-taught.
Yeah, and doing it, right.
Sometimes
yeah.
that's the best way.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Know, why should I go pay to be in debt, try to learn from someone else when you can just do it yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
But so that was my first time down in Nashville, and Joe Beek jokes, he's like, Thursday night, we went out in the town. They took me out in the town, first time out there, and it was during COVID.
Oh, wow.
You're not allowed to dance, and that, I tore up the floor.
Nice, you did good.
And Joby's like, yeah, we couldn't get you out of that bar. You didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, because I was dancing, and we went to the place called The Stage. There was a good band there, and sounded good. I'm like, what more do you want? You got music,
yeah.
You got dancing, and you got alcohol. I think that was the first time I ever had a screwball, too. I'm doing screwball shots that
ever
night.
Ever since, yeah. Peanut butter flavor, right?
Screwball? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh. So good.
Yep. Yeah, for listeners, if you so don't good. Know. Yeah. Did you wear the hat? Did you have
Oh, I sure did.
Dang right. I love it. Okay, good. Good. Yeah.
There's video, but I don't want to share any of that.
Okay, we'll keep that in the vault, you know, yeah.
But
yeah.
I never would have thought this is where I would be.
Would be, yeah.
I thought I was gonna be a farmer and whatnot, got my EMT in high school. I thought I was gonna go to med school. You know, right out of high school, you know, got a couple years on me. I was going to be a medic. And then this happened with Jess. And, I wouldn't change it.
Yeah, you took the road less traveled, you know.
Correct.
And the whole time, too, now, you know, to mention this, the whole time you're doing the audio engineering front of house for Jess Zimmerman Band, you're also, EMT. You're also doing EMT. And like, talk about that, because I feel like they're kind of the unsung heroes that, you know, you always hear about, yes. Of course, our veterans, phenomenal, and mm-hmm. firefighters and soldiers, but, like, sometimes you guys see some brutal stuff, and you're the first ones to get there in some cases. Like, if you want, talk a little bit about that. Yeah,
absolutely. So I got my EMT my junior year of high school at Elko. Dave Kirshner, Mr. Kirshner, was my instructor. I was his last class, actually, before he retired. I think I'm the one that made him retire. Or gave him more gray hair, you know.
Yeah, either or, right?
So,
yeah.
But he would be a one for the podcast, definitely, to be honest. Yeah. He started that. He was the one that started that, and he has a great story behind that. I think he would be a good...
I'm always looking for guests.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But, yeah, so I got my EMT in 2012. I was actually started in the fire service in 2008, 2009. I don't know. I don't remember. It all runs together.
Yeah.
One of the reasons was the whole drum line was part of the fire company. We were all in the Elko. We all are members at, you know, the fire companies. And so that's kind of what drew me to it.
Okay.
I'm the first one of my family to do anything like that. And then, I want to say it was 2017, I became an officer at Newmanstown Volunteer Fire Company for the ambulance, and been an officer there since.
Yeah.
I've held the title of chief and deputy chief. I worked for First Aid and Safety Patrol, Western Berks EMS, and now Wellspan EMS as well. More or less, it's a nice job I can fall back onto when we're not touring or anything like that.
Yeah.
But... yes, there's things that I wish I could unsee.
Yeah.
Especially there was a call right out of high school. The fall I was out of high school, we had a bad farming accident. And till this day, it still haunts me. And I still have trouble with it, and mainly because it was a farming accident.
Yeah, it hits closer to home a little bit.
It does.
Yeah.
There's calls that keep you up at night and stuff like that. And, you know, for the ones that are out there listening to this, ask for help, seek mental health. You know, and that's one of the biggest things is reach out to people. Reach out to your coworkers. You know, go talk to someone if you're having trouble. You know, I have my people that I call. So when I was dealing with that one. But, yeah. But it's rewarding because you have on the less serious calls, I always said at the end of the day, the training, what makes the training worth it is seeing your making your patient smile or laugh. And that also ties into, you know, the band thing too, because when I'm at a show and I'm doing music, that's my escape.
Yeah.
But one thing that we try to do is, you know, I see at a show is like make people forget what's going on out in the outside world. And, you know, biggest thing with the band for us is, you know, we're all believers. And we pray before every show. That is the biggest thing that has drawn, actually got me saved. Being a part of the band is praying before every show. And the one thing we ask for is that God will use us to draw someone closer to him. You know, and we thank him for our talents and all that. But, you know, that's like my escape.
Right,
you know,
right.
For trying to, you know, forget all the bad stuff and focus on the good stuff for 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, and I love what you're saying too, because, you know, when people come to see a concert and see a performer, right, they want to get away from their troubles at home or the pain and, mm-hmm. and maybe had a bad day at work or something. So it is a chance for them to unwind and escape. And mentioning, you know, prayer, so many guests that have been on the podcast mm-hmm. have mentioned, you know, finding the Lord or renewing their faith and you know, getting baptized and things like that, which I think is phenomenal because especially when you see what's going on in the world, you know, to have something to believe in a higher power. Like I remember, it goes back to middle school, high school, I was on the football team, always a big guy. So I was a lineman. But we would pray. What I'm getting at is we would pray before every game, you know, it didn't matter home or away. And it was just like the brotherhood, everyone getting together to say our Father, you know, and just pray for protection and everyone, you know, is not, you know, no serious injuries or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that you pray before every concert, I think is phenomenal. And it's something that I kind of miss that brotherhood and that, like, you know, everyone just getting together to pray.
Yeah, that's one thing that I truly love about this band, is that there's mental health. Jess's mental health advocate for it, and, you know, praying and being, you know, a Christian.
And your mental health is huge, like you said. I mean, it's no shame in being like, you need someone to talk to. I said this mm-hmm. before in the podcast. You know, you need like a rock, whether it's, you know, your father, your mother, your best friend, whether you have, you know, therapist or therapy and you want to mm-hmm. talk to somebody because you got to get it off your chest. Like, there's no shame in that. And I've jokingly said, like, the podcast is sometimes like therapy because guests can come in and share things that they wouldn't else tell, you know, or say. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the listeners hear, but I think it's kind of like a one-on-one experience. So people are more open to share stories. You know, Justin Snyder has been on from, Lebanon County Weather Channel, Lebanon County Weather. Mm-hmm. Gosh,
I know Justin,
bad host. He shared some things with me. I think that one, we almost got a box of tissues out, and mm-hmm. there's been other guests that have shared stories that like I never saw coming, but they wanted to and felt safe to share it. And, you know, that way people learn and get educated on it. Cause maybe, like you said, maybe they're going through it and it doesn't hurt to be like, hey, I need help or let me talk to you about this. Cause
it's okay. It's okay to want help.
Right.
And
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So yeah. EMS says it's always a great thing to fall back on. I actually got my father involved in the fire company.
Yeah.
So I got him involved with, you know, hey, just, you know, something for us to do together. When we, you know, I think it might have been after we sold the cows, but we still had the chickens and whatnot. Okay. And so it was something for us to do, you know, kind of bond over and got involved. Then I got him to talked him into going for his EMT.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
So, yeah. So now we got, you know, my dad's an EMT now. He also helps with the fire company, you know, and then both my sisters are actually in the medical field too.
Wow.
One's ultrasound tech at St. Joe's in Reading, and the other one does dialysis.
Wow.
So we're all over the place.
Yeah, so saving lives and, taking care of people, which is huge. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of my ways to be able to give back to someone else as well. I can help someone medically, on their worst day. And then the other thing, too, is like with the band is like what I'm doing, I'm using my talent to make the band sound good for someone to more or less forget what's going on in the world and create that atmosphere where they can come and feel safe. They can feel safe, so it's like I got best of both worlds, I'm giving. This is my way of giving in life.
Right. Let's take a sip break. Yeah. In your life, and I'm going to throw it out there. I'm guessing your father is a big mentor in your life, but is there others that you wanted to maybe shout out, including your father?
Yeah, absolutely. My father, my grandfather, even my, there's a lot of people that I look up to, and in life. And one of the recent ones has been Joe B from the band. And Joe is, a big mentor to me. He's almost like another father to me, brother kind of thing, relationship going on there. Him and I had some long talks together. Few other people was, Mr. Kirshner. He's taught, trained me. There's some other people like Steve Zimmerman, who was one of my trainers from growing, he trained me from the moment I was in class, and he's teaching me getting my advanced EMT. He's one of our instructors for that. So it's like it was a nice full circle for him to come back and teach me, mm-hmm. Can still mentor me. But yeah, there's a lot of people that I look up to. There's a long list, The real major ones are my parents, my grandparents, Joe B. Those guys there, so.
What would you say is, you're most passionate about?
Lately, it's been sound. Sound and EMS is where I'm at right now, is what I'm most passionate about.
And that ties in perfectly with the items you brought with you today. Tell us a little bit about them. Awesome hat, by the way, Jess Zimmerman Band hat. Is that available? Can people buy that somewhere?
That's one of the merch items. For the Jess Zimmerman Band. So it's part of our merch. You can find that at jzband.org or at our merch team, merch table at any show, any public show. Brought my stethoscope, one of my jackets for EMS just to represent that. And
the hats, many.
The many hats.
The many hats.
I was actually going to stop on my way up at the firehouse and get one of my helmets.
Oh, that would
have
been the first.
Could have been like the man of multiple hats. Matt in the hat, multiple hats.
Yeah.
But I left that at station. But the other one was, go back to the band, is was nominated for multiple awards at the Josie Music Awards. And it's an independent artist for independent artists like Jess, for all their talents and work and whatnot. And the one year that we were down, we brought home this past one was best Southern rock, country rock, Southern rock group of the year. Anyway, so one of the group we're sitting around the table one night, and you only get one at the award show.
Okay. Yeah. Who's gonna get it? Who's gonna take it home?
Yeah. More or less. And so we were sitting around the table, and they're like, we can get duplicates, and Jess looked at me, and she's like, "Do you want one?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't feel like I." They're like, "Absolutely."
You didn't feel like you deserved it?
Yeah, I didn't feel
it. You play a big part.
I never thought. I didn't want to be that guy.
More I get what you're saying, but like you're a key part. Yeah. You're a key part.
And Dan the Man was along for that one. That was last year when they got to play on the Grand Ole Opry House stage. So that was the first time I was even at the Grand Ole Opry House. But they're like, Dan said he had the recollection of he got this award and he's like, this is going to Matt. I'm like, all right. So I was like, oh, man, that felt good. And they're like,
yeah.
So I'm sitting around the table. They're like, yeah, absolutely. You deserve one. I didn't bring that one with me, but I brought this last one from the 5th CPMA Awards, Central Pennsylvania Music Award. We won, the band won Best Country Band for 2023. And that's why I brought it along with me, because it's one of those things. It's like, I never saw myself doing this.
Yeah.
And now we got awards for, you know, and being able to have one of the awards. Yeah.
It makes you feel good.
It does.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. You know,
you should be proud, very proud. And I know I'm sure you are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, So what I brought with me getting on better track was I brought one of our latest award from the Central Pennsylvania Music Awards, Best Country Band in 2023, the Jess Everman Band. I want to thank the group, the band, for allowing me to have one of these. So, yeah. And then the multiple hats.
The multiple hats. You got to love it. Yeah.
You know,
Matt and a hat.
Yeah. Having multiple hats, you know, didn't know which one to wear this podcast. But
I like it, the black on black. It looked good. And that's honestly what we first connected on Instagram. Of course, Jess hyped you up and doing some research on you. But I'm like, Matt in the hat, how can I not have him on? Like, I know nothing really about you, but I'm like,
I was shocked when you said, I want to have you on here. And I'm like,
dude, of course.
I'm like, what am I going to talk about?
But see, that's it. Yeah. And other people said that before. They're like, oh, do you ever like not air an episode or like cut somebody out or don't publish it? And I'm like, you know, no, because everyone has a story, right? Yeah. And everybody does things so differently. Like, you know, during the day, I'm selling printing. So some people might be like, oh, that's pretty interesting. You do printing. Some people have a video game store and it's like, whoa, you sell video games. Like, I used to have a Nintendo 64. You know, it's just like the conversation goes, and I'm like, okay, an audio engineer, you know, front of the house. Like, what does that mean? To me, that intrigues me. Like I said, then Jess Zimmerman Band tie-in. I'm like, I got to have this guy. And then, like I said, Matt in the Hat. I needed to know how you got the name Matt in the Hat. Yeah.
Thanks to Jess.
There you go. Exactly right. So, you know, how can our listeners connect with you, Matt, and follow along on your journey?
Yeah. So I'm on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Do a little bit there. Twitter. And it's Matt in the Hat or Matt in the Hat if you just search that. Should pop up.
Yeah.
So you got to do better on posting on stuff. I want to try to incorporate what I do, see, you know, allow people to see what I do. Videos of me mixing, you know, life on the road, you know, kind of thing.
Maybe some line dancing?
Yeah, line dancing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
One more country song.
Sweet.
I love it. By the Jess Zimmerman Band.
There you go. Yeah.
I had a hand in writing that line dance as well.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. How does that come about? How did that come about?
One night after practice, Joe B. and I went up into his office, into the home studio, and he's like, I just want, just start yelling out dance steps. And that's how that bridge, they kind of took that and formed the bridge of the song.
Yeah.
When she says 5, 6, 7, 8. Two-step slide, two-step slide, one-quarter turn, rocking chair. Those are all line dance steps. And then she, you know, so
okay.
I kind of create. We took that and made it the tag, and then we just built the regular line dance that she teaches. At almost every show, she's teaching a line dance. But it's simple enough that someone who has never line danced before can do it, and then. You know, say, hey, this is pretty cool. I remember this song, you know,
yeah.
It's to our song and whatnot. So that's how that came about.
Okay. So I'm going to be honest. I've never line danced. So
well,
we
got to teach you.
I was just going to say, I need to learn. I do need to learn. You got to teach me.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe.
Got to come out to our show. Tomorrow night? Tomorrow night, we're at the Lebanon Area Fair.
Correct.
On the main stage. Thursday, July. What's tomorrow? I don't even know.
Oh, gosh.
25th.
Yeah.
Yeah, July 25th, 7 p.m. over on the main stage. Come hear us. Get your merch. Meet the band. Pop over and say hello over at front of house. Just look for the tent. And Hopefully it doesn't rain.
Yeah, amen to
that, right. I don't know what the weather's going to be quite yet, but it's changing every day.
It is, yeah. Yeah, hopefully it'll be a little cooler, like mid-80s compared to like 90s. Exactly right, yeah.
Better
exactly.
than the 100 and some degrees yeah. we've been having.
Yeah, and so before we close out, is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
I got to shout out Jess's grandma. She has this quote that she always says, "Why worry when you can pray?"
Yeah.
Why worry when you can pray? Shout out to Grandma Z, Jess's grandma. And be yourself. Love one another.
Couldn't agree more.
Come see the Jess Zimmerman Band anytime. You know, support local music. Support local music. Go out, support, you know, Cody Tyler, Addie Grace.
Thank you, Addie Grace. Oh, yes.
Sweet, sweet gal.
I've been hearing a lot about her. Yeah.
Sweet gal. Yeah. Oh, there's so many. There's so many. I don't want to not forget anyone. So I'm just going to say, you know, everyone out there, you know, support the local music, whether they're country, pop, rock. There's a lot of great talent, a lot of hidden talent.
Yes.
That has not been discovered
here
yet.
In PA for sure. Yeah.
In the Lebanon Valley.
Yeah. So. Matt Sonnen, audio engineer and EMT on the American Grown Podcast and the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.